Anyway, going to be in Proverbs 31 this morning. A lot of people use, I know a pastor that uses this verse every Mother's Day for like 30 years, same verse. I try to preach from different places in the Bible, but this, I know why. This is a great text for women, for the mothers. It's God's ideal. For ladies, if you want the ideal, the standard for a woman, the standard for a mother, a standard for a wife, this is it. Proverbs 31, verse 10, the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and once again now we pray that we can focus on your word and you, Lord, and just take the distractions away from the outside world. Lord, let us concentrate on what you have to say to us today. Speak to each heart that's here, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The verses I read from 10 down to 31 in the original Hebrew are written in what's called acrostic form, and that means that every verse starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, this was done specifically to help Hebrew women remember, or anybody remember, and there's other places in the Bible where this is done, but it would help them remember. And you go like A, B, C to us. And they would remember these verses. So it does place some importance as far as memory on this text. And as I said before, I read it's a standard for women, the mothers and women that God intended for each of you to be. We know that we're living in a world that's under satanic attack. And I mean this way, that everything that God has designed, everything that God instituted, Satan attacks it. Manhood. That's under attack today. You know, a blind man could see that. Motherhood is under attack. Marriage is under attack. Morality is under attack. Everything that God designed, everything that God planned that's good, has been under attack by Satan, by the world today. And listen, motherhood's no different today. The world is trying to take women, particularly ladies and mothers, and push you into a mold of its own making. And telling you this is what you need to be and this is what you need to do. It started in the Garden of Eden when Satan came in the Garden of Eden and Adam was the man, the head of the family. Who did Satan go after? He went after Eve. And he went up there and said, "Hey, God didn't say this and God didn't say that," and got Eve to fall, and then she let her husband and he fell, and both of them made decisions on their own. They couldn't push the blame around, in other words. But the world, nothing's changed since those days. And I grew up, you know, of course, 60s, 70s, remember women's liberation movement, you know, the ladies were out burning their bras and, you know, they were saying, "Well, we're not going to be a homemaker and we're going to go out and do our own thing and get out from underneath this subjection to our husbands. And then now it's look sexy. You got to look a certain way. You got to act a certain way. And you see a lot of that going on. I tell you, it hasn't improved the world in any way, shape, or form. Things aren't better living than they were in the old days. And one of the things is the direction that Satan has taken and the world is going with the ladies and particularly the mothers is that there's something more important out there for you than being a homemaker, and there's something more important out there for you than raising your kids, that you need to do that. You know, sometimes people ask a lady, maybe she doesn't have an outside job, and they say, what do you do for a living? Well, I don't work. You know, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Well, I'm going to tell you what, there's a lie right there, because if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're working plenty. It's not that you don't have a job, it's just it's not an outside resource. Listen, the mother, at home, raising her family. I mean, when my kids were young, my wife worked and we both were working and we commuted a long way, 48 miles, and we had to do it separately because of the times we went to work and Danielle was born. And man, you know, you get up and you had to take Danielle to her sister. Sherry would take her because she left later than me. And then I got home and I had to pick her up and I had to take her home and entertain her till Sherry got there. And then when all was said and done, the dishes got done at 7:45 every night. And when Kyle was born, she finally, we talked about it and she said, listen, I'm going to quit work and just raise the, stay with the kids, and when they get old enough, and she was there when they got on the bus, and man, it was a big hit on our income. I mean, she made as much money as I did. It cut our income in half. Now, folks, take your household income and cut it in half. But I want to tell you something, it was worth every penny of it. Because when I got home from work, I come dragging in from a hard day's work, boy, dinner was cooking. I could smell it in the house. My kids were there from the bus or wherever they were. The kids were home. We weren't picking them up and spending all our time driving and commuting and having somebody else raise the kids. Now, listen, I'm not against a woman having a career. And as a matter of fact, when we look at these verses just a little bit better, we're going to see that this woman right here, she had a career and was a homemaker. So, it can be done. What I'm saying is just don't let the world push you into a place where you think that there's something more important out there than you raising your kids. Because there's nothing, there's important things, but nothing more important than raising your family. They say the hand that rocks the cradle rocks the world. And there's a lot of truth in that right there because, our kids are going to get influenced by something. And I'd like for my influence over my kids to be greater than the school teacher's influence at school. And they spend a lot of time with them at school. And I'd like for my influence to be greater than somebody else that's going to watch them more times than not. And so just don't let the world tell you that there's something more important, something greater for you out there than raising your family. Man, what a task at hand there that God has given the mothers and the fathers as well. And so, as I said, we see a woman in Proverbs 31. She had a career. She had raised her family, and she was successful at both things. And we'll look and see why. I just got 3 points for you this morning that's going to help us see the woman that God wants you to be. And listen, men, you don't have to go to sleep here either, because we're talking about character things and everything that would apply to the wife or the woman here in Proverbs 31. Most of these things, if not all, would apply to us as men as well, just human beings, the type of people that God intended us to be. And so the very first thing we see about the mother that God intended you to be is that she's a blessing to God. Number one point, a blessing to God. It says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? That word virtuous means noble. It means capable. It means moral, strength, courage, chastity, power to accomplish a given effect. That's what one of the different dictionary definition was. Power to accomplish a given effect. Now, the question's asked, who can find? And it doesn't imply that this woman can't be found. It just implies that this woman is rare. See, so for you young guys that aren't married yet, right here's what you're supposed to be looking for. This is the ideal woman for you right here. It's not in how sexy she looks or how cool she looks or all those other things. It's how she fits into what we see, what God's intended plan. Now, because we'll see that it becomes a blessing to you as well when you find this woman. But it says, who can find? Doesn't mean she's non-existent. It means rare, worth looking for. And it goes on to say, for her price is far above rubies. Far above rubies. So see, kids and moms and parents, husbands and wives, you know, you got a big old bucket of rubies, or your wife, which one do you want? Or your big old bucket of rubies, which one? The reason it says it this way, it means this, that the characteristics or the qualities that's described in Proverbs 31 can't be bought. It just means they can't be bought. You can, all the money in the world is not going to purchase these qualities right there. So it's so rare that it's something that you can't even buy. And that's what's intended. We see a woman here, her price far above rubies. She's got qualities. We see a woman that's a woman of spirit. And that means that she commands her own spirit. Now, I'm not talking about apart from God. I just mean she's in command of her spirit along with God, and that she is confident. This is a, when you read that text, everything about this woman just spells out or makes you think confidence. Here's a woman that is a confident woman. And, you know, I see this lacking in a lot of people in the world today. People in the world are afraid. People in the world are scared. I mean, that's how people operate for the most part, except if you know the Lord, when you're trusting Jesus Christ and you know the Lord and He's in your heart, listen, you can walk through the world confidently because I know I'm in His hand, you know. And so, listen, you know, the thing about, listen, moms, you know this, and dads too. You know, it's when you first have kids, it's like it's a trial and error process. Now, the Word of God guides us. It does. The Word of God guides us. And I'm telling you, I want to encourage you, mom and dad, listen, raise, you know, And listen, mom and dads too, this is a little side note, little side advertisement. We did a class here. Remember when we did some DVDs from S.M. Davis? He was a pastor of a church at one time, and now he's really geared up. He ministers to families, and it was about raising your kids. Any of y'all need help raising your kids? I got the DVD. I have them. They're DVDs. You watch them, and there's like 7, 8 of them. You watch one at a time, and it talks, and I'm telling you what, you raise your kids. He tells you the Bible way on how to raise your kids. It's super. We have them. And I know, you know, we don't have like a library as such, but we have these things. If you want to look at them, anybody, you can borrow them. We got them. Just give you that right there to help you out. But it's all biblical and really good. But the thing about raising kids is, you know, you figure it out by the time you have your 10th kid, you start to get the hang of this. You know, and if you don't have 10, you know, you got that first one. And by the time they get to be a senior in high school, you say, man, I wish I had done that different. You know, now it's too late. And kids are influenced when they're small. You know, they're going to get the first 5, 6 years of a child's life. They develop a whole lot of what they're going to use the rest of their life. And so critical time to be raising your kids. But, you know, we learn as we go. And unfortunately, our kids suffer because of the mistakes we make because we don't know what we're doing. And so I'm encouraging you to look to the Word of God in this area on raising your kids, because God knows what He's talking about. I like people sometimes, they like to try, they know more than God, right? And they say, well, you know, preacher, I don't give my kids a whipping, I give them time out. Show it to me in the Bible. And God says, okay, sit your kid in the corner, time out. You know, I always tell this, God just spell, you take the, it says put a rod on their backs. That's what the Bible, God knows what He's talking about. T-I-M-E-O-U-T, pal. Yeah, that's time out. That's how I got it. Huh? It says put a rod on their back. It works every time. I mean, it worked. God knows what He's talking about. Believe God. Huh? Believe God. God knows what He's talking about. Time out ain't going to work. Huh? This will work. It works. So we've got it from the Word of God. That's a little extra there. That wasn't really in the message. But anyway, here's the thing. We see a woman that's confident. We see a woman of character here. And I want to say this about marriage and motherhood. Marriage and motherhood will not give you character. It'll only reveal the character that's already there. It doesn't, you know, matter of fact, it brings out the worst in us sometimes, doesn't it? Huh? Kids and, you know, stress of marriage and things. So we see we have to develop character another way, and that's through our relationship with Jesus Christ, and that'll help you in your family life, marriage and raising kids as well. We see it also said in verse 30 that she feareth the Lord, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But I believe this. Here was a woman that is in verse 30 tells us she feared the Lord, and I believe it would apply this way today, that this is a woman that's a praying woman. This is a woman that she's reading the Word of God on a daily basis, and she's meditating upon what God says. I believe that she's seeking wisdom. She asks for wisdom. That's something I ask God for every day. I don't take that for granted. I ask God. I said, God, I need wisdom. You know, wisdom today. Wisdom to be a husband. Wisdom to be a grandfather and a father. Wisdom to be a pastor. I need that from God. I don't have that on my own. I'm asking God for that. We see that she's devoted to God and she's seeking to obey God's will. She's seeking to obey God. Listen, you can know all the scriptures that there are, but if you don't obey them, then they don't affect your character. Is not impacted by that. They have to be, you know, there's obedience that comes along with that. And so she is a blessing to God because of the testimony that she has to her family and to her neighbors. She has a testimony among her family and her neighbors. As a matter of fact, we saw it. I'll read it a little bit when I get to the husbands. We see it says that her husband's known in the gates because everybody else around the men in those days, all the men would sit down around the gates of the city because they were running the important affairs of the city and everybody knew them. And this man is known because of the testimony that his wife has. That's what that means right there. So she is a blessing to God because of that. The second thing we see in the text that she's a blessing to her husband. This woman's husband is mentioned three times. And in verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. That means that he has confidence. He has trust. He's not worrying about what his wife's doing while he's at work all day long. That he has confidence that she's not out blowing all the money. I remember when my great aunt and uncle, I'd spent some time with them in the summer. And they lived over. They lived in Virginia, but my uncle was a miner, and he mined in West Virginia. So they had a house they stayed in over in Bud, West Virginia, which is kind of, you can't get there from here. But it's in near, you go up to Princeton and out 20 till you get tired of going around in fields like circles on the road, and then you finally get to the place. And it was mining. It was a little mining community there. People rented the houses. They all lived there, and you know the mines. The mines had a store. If anybody got background in mining or you had relatives, the mining companies had stores, and people would go, the family could go to the store and buy stuff on credit, and the mine would take the money out of the paycheck every week to pay that thing off and the wives. And there was a lady, my aunt told me, the lady that lived next door. I remember her name. I won't say it. Who knows? This day and time, everybody's related, right? But she would. She said that she would go up there. Her husband's in there slaving in the mines all day long. That's a dangerous job. It's a hard job. But when the sheets and all got dirty in the house, she would throw them out and go down to the company store and just get new sheets and put them on the bed right there. Huh? I imagine that guy was a nervous wreck when he went to work every day. Man alive, you know, tell him what I'm going to owe when it's all over. I have to work overtime every single day to pay off what the wife was blowing up at the company store. But we see a woman here that she, you know, here's a man. He has confidence. He trusts her, you know, morally. He trusts her as far as how she handles the affairs, the money of the household. You know, money can be a real big issue. A lot of, you know, family, you know how it is. Usually the way it works is one of you is a spender and one of you is not. And, you know, so sometimes that causes a little bit of a conflict on ideas on where everything ought to go. And it can be a stressful time. And sometimes when you don't have any money, that's a stressful thing. But we see this. She's careful with the finances. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will do her husband good all the days of her life. That's not some of the days. That's not part of the days. That's not during vacation from that. It said all the days of her life. You know, one of the things about a wife, and of course a wife, and if you got the cart and the horse and the cart and everything in the right order, it's the wife, then the mother, then, you know, it goes like that. And one of the things about a wife and a husband, that relationship, is the wife is to be the completer, not to competer, but the completer of the husband. See, when God made Adam and God made Eve, and he made Adam and he said, well, he looked at everything and he said, well, Adam needs a helpmate. It says helpmate, but it means helpmate in the Bible. He had a helpmate, and then he made Eve. So what God was really saying wasn't, listen, this didn't catch God off guard like, oh, wow, you know, I got to... Plan, you know, he already knew this. He made man, but he made man incomplete, and so he made woman to complete the man. And actually, the man completes the woman, and the woman completes the man. This is the way God intended for it to be. And so he had this plan, and to help one another along. And listen, I want to say something to the husbands here. We were kidding around over my daughter was calling me. She goes, "Hey, what are you getting mom for Mother's Day? Because I don't want to get the same thing." I said, I was kidding with her. I said, "I'm not going to get her nothing. She's not my mama." But listen, husbands, that's the point. Your wife's not your mama. Okay, you got that? Your wife's not your mama. That means pick up your clothes, and because mama's not going to be there to do it. Put your toys away, because mama's not going to be there to put your toys away. And the reason that our wives, sometimes I kid my wife, I'll say, "Okay, mom," when she, telling me something. And I'll say, "Okay, mom." The reason the wives feel like the mom is because they're acting like the mom, because you're letting them, because you're doing all the stuff you did when you was a kid. "Honey, what do you think I ought to wear? Honey, where's my underwear? Where's my..." You got to go over everything. The wife is that. So your wife is not your mother. Don't treat your wife like your mother, just the mother of your children. That's good. And wives, here's the deal here, what this is telling us in the verses that we just read. You're either building up your house and your husband, or you're tearing the home down and you're tearing your husband down. It's just one, you're doing one or the other. You're building them up, you're building up your home, you're contributing to the home, or you're tearing it down. You're contributing to your husband as a completer, or you're tearing him down. That's just the way that is, and that's what that's talking about. You know, we see a woman here when we looked about that. Boy, I mean, things are different now. We go to Walmart and get everything, but back then, they made stuff. Even in my great-grandmother's day, they made a lot of things. They made a lot of their clothes. And we see a woman here that she's buying, it says down there that she's buying wool and flax, and she's working willingly with her hands. So they made their clothes, and she's like the merchant ships. It says she bring her food from afar, and she gets up a great while before day, and she's making the food for the household. Verse 15. She gets up early and she's preparing. You know, I remember a lot of times people think they get busy. Man, listen, back in the old days, them old moms and grandmoms, buddy, they got up before daylight, buddy. You got biscuits, gravy. I mean, it was homemade biscuits too, from scratch. They didn't pop out of no can. They didn't have no popping fresh, man. You got out there and you did it. And before that, you had to go down there and milk old Bessie and get the milk. And then you had to come back up there with that, grind the flour. And then you got the flour, and then they made the biscuits. And buddy, they went out to the chicken coop and got the eggs, and they brought them back in and they fried them. You had the eggs for breakfast, and they fried up the chicken for supper, man. I mean, they cut them off and plucked them and got them all ready to go. Man, had to do that. They made the clothes. Buddy, they was a wife. They was a mama. They got the dinner done. They got it all done. They got it done, man. I'm going to tell you what, they were busy. See, we see somebody that's a busybody and not a busybody, but busy and not a busybody. We see opportunity. Said, look in verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it with. So she saw some husbands at work, field come up for sale. She said, man, looking, she knows her mind of her husband. She said, this is a good deal. She buys the field, then says she invests in it. She planted a vineyard with her own hands, and then she made money from that. Notice how this is contributing to the household. Boy, this woman here is going. And then look at this verse right here. I wrote a little note in my Bible beside it. In verse 18, it says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. What that means is, you remember in the parable of the 10 virgins, there was 5 wise and 5 foolish. And the 5 foolish rose up, and they needed oil for their lamps, and they didn't have any. But the 5 wise had oil for their lamps. See, the difference between the two is the 5 wise planned ahead, and the 5 foolish didn't. And so here we see it says that her candle goeth not out. That's because this is just telling us that she has planned ahead. She has looked ahead at what I'm going to need. I've got a plan for the future and make sure we have everything. And looking at it, it's when you get it, you go in the bath, the toilet paper's always there, in other words. You don't have to fool with the candles today too much. And so planning ahead. And we see this in this woman. That's a good quality right there. Doesn't run out of goods, the food, the clothes, whatever. And then, and top it all off, look at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. You're thinking, man, when in the world does she have time to do that? She's buying clothes, she's making clothes, she's making food, she's preparing for her household, but she still had time to minister to other people. She reaches out to the poor, she reaches her hands out to the needy, she helps folks, see? She's not a burden. She's not a burden on society. She's not a burden on her church, man. She's helping others. She's part of the solution, not part of the problem. She's doing some things, preparing. She's able to do it. She has the health to do it. We understand that. Verse 21, look, it says she's not afraid of the snow. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now we see preparation again. Wintertime came. Then we see her husband again, verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates, and I mentioned that a minute ago, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She was an asset all the way around. She was an asset to her neighbors. She was an asset to her children. She was an asset to her husband. She was an asset to God. She was a blessing to all these people right there. And in verse 27 says, she looked well to the ways of her household. She looketh well to the ways of her household. And eateth not the bread of idleness. That, you know, the Bible says that idols, well, not the Bible doesn't say it. It's a proverb, I think we have, or a saying we have. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know, we see a woman here that is, she wasn't spending all day on Facebook. They didn't have it, I know. She didn't spend all day texting or on the phone. She wasn't spending all day reading those trashy romance novels. Thinking about something else. This is somebody that got something done. She was up before daylight. I believe this is how it went. I believe she got up before daylight and she got in the Word of God if she had it. I believe she did some praying to God and she meditated upon what God would have her to do. She prayed about things in her own life. And then I believe she got going with the breakfast and she got that ready and she got the family going in all the directions she had to go. Then she might have made some clothes. She might have worked on clothing. Then she might have went out at the marketplace. Maybe she did that first. Maybe she went to the marketplace in the morning, looked for the good deals, saw a piece of land, maybe buy that, come home, work in the afternoon on the apparel, getting ready for winter time, getting ready for supper that night. Buddy, this was a woman that was industrious and a busy woman. Just like I said, she didn't have time to be on the gospel train on what's going on all over town, working with her hands and sold some of those things. She contributed to the income of the house, when she was able to do that. Looked well to the ways of her household, verse 27 says. One of the things that you kind of see, it looks to me like, you get images, we see the hardworking woman, but we see that it contributes to the harmony of the household. The wife, the mother, the children, the husband, everything is like it just looks like a well-oiled machine as I kind of read that she contributes to that harmony of the home. And then the last thing we see that she's a blessing to her children, it says in verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. That's a blessing there. You know, I think about my mom. My mom's passed away. And the things that she instilled in me, like sometimes the church laughs at me, like if I'm up here preaching and there's a little white piece of paper on the floor right there, I got to go down there and get it. It just drives me nuts to see something down there on the carpet. If it's way back there, I might leave it. I got that from my mom. My mom was a real neat Nick. But listen, my mom worked at the Norfolk Naval Air Station. She was the Tech Data Library supervisor. Tech Data Library is where all the mechanical information for the fighter jets, the Navy fighter jets. You can imagine this is a stressful job. She had people that worked under her and all that. But my mom did that, and my dad worked for the government too. They were able to do it. But at the same time, my mom was a homemaker. The greatest testimony, one of the greatest testimonies my parents ever had, and my dad was this way too when he was younger, clean. They were both kind of pretty neat people. But we went to our old neighborhood. We were walking around, Sherry and I. The house had been sold. Dad was living up here, still living. And the second people that bought the house there was there. It was a younger guy, I guess probably is maybe 30 years old, I don't know, something like that. He was out there messing around at the edge of the garage. And so I said, well, let's just go up here and introduce ourselves. We went up there, up the driveway, and I told him, I said, hey, my name's Daniel Boone, and this is my wife, Sherry. He said, the Boones. He said, oh, man, he goes, you are the people that kept this house looking. I said, no, not me. Although when I was a kid, I did contribute. I said, my parents. I said, that's my parents. And he said, man, I'm telling you what. He said, Lou Dowdy was a neighbor. The people in this neighborhood, nobody, you die out of there. Nobody moves. And Lou Dowdy still lives across the street. He lived over. He said, Lou Dowdy over there told me this. He said, when my parents lived there, he said, I would have no problem eating off the floor, literally. He said, I would have ate my supper off the floor in my parents' house. That was a testimony from the neighbors now there. And I want to share this with you too. My mom, I mean, she worked that job and she kept the house clean. I mean, you could do the white glove treatment over the door jams. You're not going to get no dust. I mean, everything was clean. And my mom made sure that I had my clothes for school. And, you know, she didn't want me to, you know, have my shirt tail out. She just wanted me to look right and do right and manners. To this day, I can't call like the older people. I don't call Floyd and Barbara Floyd and Barbara. I call them Mr. and Mrs. Markham. Barbara, she said, Ms. Markham said one time, she goes, you can go ahead and call us Barbara. I can't. Because my mom taught me to my elders that I always said Mr. and Mrs. That came from my parents. See, they instilled that in me even to this day. And my mom, back in the day, you know, we had a yard, little yard. Mom wanted to keep it all neat outside too, just like inside. And back then, they didn't have weed eaters. Back then, they had, you remember, some of you remember, folks, they had the clippers, the little hand shears. And my mom would get down on her hands and knees, and we had a driveway, concrete, and a concrete sidewalk went up the side. And she'd get down there and clip with them things with her hands on it, have a little pad she drug along, put her knee on it. And then along the back fence, she trimmed it. And let me tell you something about my mom. My mom was a cripple. My mom had TB of the bone when she was a little girl, and it fused her hip socket in one side. So you can imagine walking, not being able, you can't do this. You know, you have to limp. And she would get down on one knee with that leg stretched out straight, just at the knee she could bend. She'd get down there on there and do all this work that I'm telling you about there, because that was the quality of family life. And my mom grew up poor, relatively speaking, not super poor, but she wanted to have a good life. She wanted me to have a good life. She wanted her family. And I know a lot of you mothers here is the same way with your moms. But the world out here is telling you can't do these things. You can't get it done. You can. You can. And your family, you can have a career. But your family needs to be the priority. You be a blessing to your children. And I mean, I think back now. I mean, I thank God for the parents. My mom, my dad, both. I thank God for them. The way they raised me. I'm glad I grew up. I was telling Sherry just the other day. I said, you know, I'm kind of glad I grew up in the time period that I grew up in. Because I can remember, I'm old enough or was born soon enough to remember the old days. Because I saw it, some of the things were, even from my great-grandparents' point of view. And living in the modern times, which I'm still trying to figure out what's so great about it. But trying to figure that out. But I've saw that. We see in our text, in the last little point here, we see a woman that, she had a life that was a testimony to God. She had a life that was a testimony to her husband. She had a life that was a testimony to her children. And she had a life that was a testimony to her neighbors. Here's the secret to her life. It's found in verse 30. And it's the last part of verse 30. It said, but a woman that feareth the Lord, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praise. This was the key at all, because see, listen, it's a great thing about following directions or following somebody that knows where they're going. You don't have to know where you're going. You just follow them. And if you follow God, you know, we're not born knowing how to be a mother, or not born knowing how to be a father or a wife or a husband or any of those things. But God's got the instructions. And God's not going to lead you astray. And you follow God, listen, all these things. So the key to her life was that she feared the Lord. Every woman, look here, every woman can become the woman in Proverbs 31. Every woman can become that woman right there. And you think, well, is that going to be a great thing? Yes, it is. Because there'll be a satisfaction in your heart that rubies can't buy. There'll be peace in your heart that can't be bought with money, no vacation, no nothing, no another home, no all the money that you could work and work and work in a career, and all the money you get will never give you the peace and satisfaction of following the Lord in your life in whatever capacity it may be. And the result was, look in verse 31, she was praised in the gates. This woman was praised in the gates by everybody. Every day was Mother's Day for this woman right here. Every day. Let's all stand.